Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left, 23 left.
One, two, three.
Time now for Bills game day with Jeremy White, powered by Energy Mart, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills.
I got to jump on the stream. I forgot about StreamYard. We start broadcasting live on Facebook. So let me go ahead and set this up, and you guys can see my beautiful face. And we can
thank
talk.
God.
We can talk Bills, Bills, Dolphins. There we go. There we are. All right. Sal, good to see you. Well, I can't hear Sal.
How are you?
But now we can.
Good. All right, now we got you. Good to see you. How's Florida?
I might be a little delayed here. We got video on one, audio on the other, but it's good. Well, I wanted to give you a look at the field here. Fort Lauderdale's good. It's already really muggy down here, by the way, on the field. There was a game here last night, a college game yesterday, Michigan State and Miami. I will tell you some of the field there. You can see where there's some divots. So I'm going to take a picture of that before I when we're done with this and show people. But there's definitely a little, I would say, something to monitor today.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. So perhaps bad field conditions. All right, Sal, we had a call right before the break. Let's just get right to today's game, what it means. You know, Nate and I discussed the idea of panic and saying, like, I don't think anybody's panicking, but people check to see where their panic button is in case they need it after today.
They did some testing.
Yeah, just, like, make sure that, you know, it works. And our last caller said there's a little too much panic over the game against Pittsburgh because Miami can't play what Pittsburgh did. What do you expect the Dolphins to do, and what kind of success can they have against this Bills team? Because they have not had that success against these Bills, especially against Josh Allen. Miami has never seemed to have the answer for Josh Allen, and he's gotten better and better, so it's harder and harder for them to find those answers.
So I think Miami is caught kind of between two things here, which is, do they just do what they do, which is, you know, play man-to-man defense and go at it that way, which has not been successful against the Bills. They have very good corners, as we know, in Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, right? They're not really as deep at that particular spot, but they have good high-end guys. But that's how the Bills have beaten them. That's how Josh Allen's beaten them. They've gone man-to-man. Stephon Diggs, whoever it is, maybe John Brown last year. Now Emmanuel Sanders is here. Cole Beasley, obviously. Gabriel Davis. That's how the Bills have beaten them. Miami could also take the blueprint of the Pittsburgh Steelers and say, hey, this is what teams have done, not just Pittsburgh. They've gone zone. They've forced the Bills to kind of work their way down the field, so to speak. But that's out of character for them. They don't like to do that. Miami's actually one of the more man-heavy teams in the NFL under Brian Flores. So I'm not really sure how they're going to want to play this. I expect them to mix it up a little bit today. I think at the end of the day, though, what do we always hear coaches say? We're going to do what we do. You know what I mean? If they suddenly start changing up a lot of what they do, that's probably not smart for them. So I think the Dolphins probably go and just trust their own defense and play it the way they normally play it. I will say the big difference is, though, they don't have that front four like the Pittsburgh Steelers have. And, in fact, they're missing Raekwon Davis, their nose tackle, who's actually on IR, and he's going to miss this game. And I don't think they can get after the quarterback, you know, without blitzing. And if they try to blitz, then you might play into what Josh wants.
So I guess we wait to see if they can't do what Pittsburgh could do by getting there with a couple of all-world pass rushers. Do we see the Bills play as open as they did with five receiver sets, four receiver sets? Or do you think that Brian Daboll maybe got a little bit of a, I don't know, a directive from Sean McDermott to show, let's get back to what we did well last year before we get too crazy, too wide open? 11 personnel was their bread and butter, and we didn't see as much of it as we normally do. Do they get back to that today, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're still going to spread the field and let Josh Allen work. I think that's what their best bread and butter is. I think that's how they scored 31 points a game last year. But I do think last week showed them that, you know, they're going to have to have a semblance of a running game when things aren't going quite as well. Now, who knows? Maybe they start to struggle and they have to go to that. But remember that 91-yard drive they had, Devin Singletary. They didn't score a touchdown, but he had a really nice drive. He wound up with 70-something yards, over 6 yards a carry. There was hay to be made in the run game. And if the Miami Dolphins feel like, hey, we can get after the passer, there might be some opportunities here as well. Again, I'll go back to, you know, Davis being out, the nose tackle. But, Jeremy, I expect the Bills to be who they are, just like I said to the about the Dolphins. I don't expect them to get out of character. It was one game, and I think that's where the overreaction comes, which is, oh, my God, suddenly change the offense. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that. It doesn't mean you shouldn't tweak things. Of course you shouldn't. But why wouldn't the Bills do what has been so successful for them, spreading the field and letting their MVP runner-up quarterback throw the ball to a very talented receiving group?
We are getting you ready for a 1 o'clock kickoff between the Bills and the Dolphins with John Murphy and Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. Today's game is presented by Independent Health. The Redshirts are all about your health, and Bills Game Day is powered by Energy Mark, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills. The actual weather sponsor, Sullivan's Brewing Company, Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. Sal, you said starting to get muggy. Game time temp, yeah. Game time humidity, it's going to be a sweater.
It's going to be very sweaty, but look here. I mean, you guys can see the overhang,
the shade,
right? I mean, this is what's new right here, right? The stadium, this kind of just came into play a couple of years ago, a few years ago. I don't know when it was. Maybe it's even been maybe 8-10 years now. But, I think, you know, down here on the field where I am right now, I'm on the Bills kind of sideline. It's very shady, but as the sun goes and gets into this area here above me, it will start beating down a little bit, and it is going to be tough, at this game today. And it's going to basically have, I think you got to stay hydrated. It's going to probably be over 90 degrees on the field, 95 to 100 degrees, I would guess, on the field, because it's going to be close to 90 in the stadium. It will be muggy for sure.
And the Bills' side is in the sun, right? The Bills' sideline's in the sun. Miami's in the shade.
Yeah, I got to look at that. I think that's pretty much. But again, and seeing where it's kind of, I think it depends on what time of year, right? September.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Or December,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of the way that the sun kind of shifts over. But I think by the time the game comes, during the game, you will see more sun on the Bills sideline. Right now, actually, if you can see over here, guys, see the sun right there?
Yeah.
Okay, there's where the sun is showing right now. That's really not on anybody's sideline, except you have more on the Dolphins, actually. You have more on the Dolphins, but then it cuts off right around the 20-yard line.
Right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We can take phone calls if anyone wants to jump on with us. Happy to take your calls and ask Sal whatever you can dig up for today's game. Gentlemen, who has the most to prove today on this Bills roster?
Well, the offensive line as a group, and I might say Deion Dawkins. You know, I think Deion struggled last week. He was called for 3 holding calls just himself. And then, you know, he told the media this week, guys, that he's struggling still from the COVID implications. And you know, recovering from that. He said sometimes he feels great, sometimes he feels not good at all. And he struggled last week, and that was part of it. So, you know, we're going to have to see. And again, hot, muggy. I think Deion Dawkins, I think he wants to prove to himself that he can do it. He wants to prove to his team. I think people are looking for him. It's kind of a weird spot because you're just like, oh, a lot to prove. But you have to also understand the humanistic side of this, which is, you know, he's recovering from this, and this is a tough deal for him.
Yeah. Yeah, someone wrote to us and said, you know, no excuses for him, blah, blah, blah. And I think, I mean, it's not even about that. It affects the Bills. It affects Josh Allen. It affects him. And right, it's his own personal health. I mean, there have been professional athletes that missed a full season because of the effects of this. Marco Rossi with the Minnesota Wild, Rasmus Ristolainen, the Lion had it and talked about how difficult it was coming back from that for the Sabres. So, you know, I feel for him trying to battle back from it. And Sal, he's not only an important player on the team. He's an important player to the team, to every unit. I mean, Dawkins is like one of the anchors of this franchise. You know, I'm not saying like they build everything around him, but it's not lost on me how important he is as a voice for them as well.
Mm. No, that's right. You know, he's not a team captain this year, which is interesting, but that could have been because he was unavailable and not there. And, you know, they chose team captains and voted on team captains. But he's certainly a leader, right? He's a leader on that offensive line. He's a leader of the offense and of the team as a whole. All the Players Tribune stuff he's written, he's a very he's an engaging personality. People gravitate to him. So I think that's part of it, too. You know, and I give Deion a lot of credit for being really honest about everything and telling us and opening up about his situation last month. And then now after last week, opening up again and telling us where he's at. So, you know, and I think his team wants to do good by him, right? They want to play for him. They want to make sure that, you know, he's in a good spot. And, you know, the Bills have to monitor that. So Look, people have asked me this week, well, what if he starts to struggle? Do you yank him? I don't know. I think that's a tough call. Like, what does that struggle look like? Is it because his conditioning? Is it because he's getting beat one-on-one? What's your option? Spencer Brown at left tackle? I mean, yeah. This isn't something the Bills are going to be, you know, itching to change here, right?
Especially
I mean,
this early.
Deion struggles a little bit, I think you got to give it some time here for him to work through it. And maybe you can help him. Maybe you can do some things to mitigate kind of how the offense looks with if he is going through that.
Sal, I know you like to go back and watch film, particularly the Bills game, but also of the opponent. And, you know, today we kind of had a caller call in and talk a little bit about, well, this game might be a little bit about Tua. It could be what his performance looks like. What did you see, if anything, last week in that Patriots matchup? Like, there was some good, there was some bad in that game, but there was a stretch where, and I was talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN yesterday, who covers the Dolphins now, and he basically said to me, he certainly didn't win the game, but he did, at times, almost do everything he could to potentially lose it. What did you see from Tua last week against, we got to keep it in the context of it's still a Bill Belichick defense, and he sure does a great job against young quarterbacks.
He does, and I think he obviously, you know, they had a good game plan going in. Now, look, they didn't have Will Fuller. They will not have him today again, and I think that, you know, this offense would be different, or at least they would try to make it look different if they had a guy to stretch the field. I think Jaylen Waddle has that speed, but he's really a slot guy. That's not how they're using him right now. They have very good receivers in Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, you know, but what I saw last week from Tua, and Jeremy and Howard and I touched on this a bit, which is it seemed like they did a lot of things to make sure he had an opportunity. They did a lot of, like, fakes and screens and, you know, fake screens and stuff like that. Like, short stuff, game manager type stuff, and that's fine. I mean, if that's how you have to get down the field. But he never did anything watching that New England game that made me say, oh, this kid, you know, he's carrying the team. He's the guy that they're relying on to move the offense. It was more of, he's just one part of the offense. You know how, you know, you watch Josh Allen sometimes, you're like, the Bills have Josh Allen. Like, they're moving the offense because of him. They don't move the offense because of Tua. They move the offense with Tua, you know, and I think that's the difference between a game manager and where he is. But who knows? I'm leaving the door open still for him. I'm not saying that he can't be a great quarterback in the NFL. But here we are, one game into his second year, and he didn't have a full first year. Let's remember that. And I still think they're treating him with kid gloves, so to speak. Although they ramped it up a little bit last week and did a little bit more, it's still not, to me, to a point where they're asking him to do a lot.
Yeah, I think Fuller being out is big. I mean, it would have been the first game for Fuller and Waddle and Tua together. Fuller did not play in the first game. And that doesn't exactly strike fear in the hearts of everybody because Tua is still the unproven part there. But Fuller stretches the field as well as anybody. And if you had a field stretcher and then Jaylen Waddle out of the slot, like, that would make any defensive coordinator nervous because Waddle's first week was pretty good.
Yeah,
a couple of good catches. He got loose. Like, that's a guy I think can get a. He can make his money today. He can get some catches underneath on this Bills defense.
I agree. That's a good matchup. Taron Johnson, you know, Jaylen Waddle. I think that's a good matchup. You know, we'll see how they handle them, how they use them. It's funny because as of Wednesday, they thought Will Fuller was playing. He practiced, and you know he's been with them all camp, even though he had the PED suspension. Here's what happened, in case people don't know what happened. Will Fuller, last year playing for the Houston Texans, got suspended for 6 games for a banned substance. But they only had 5 games left in the season. He already had close to 900 yards in 11 games. He was having a good year for the Houston Texans. So 5 games for the Texans, carries over. He signs with the Dolphins, carries over 1 game into the season. He had to serve the suspension. But while he is serving the suspension, while he has 1 game hanging over him, he's still practicing with the team. He's still at training camp. And guys, you know that they're working on things to incorporate him in the offense during that time, right? So they miss him for 1 game. He comes back Wednesday. He practices. He says he feels great. Thursday, suddenly, he doesn't show up. They say, hey, it's a personal matter. They declare him out. They don't even know what the situation is for the rest of the year with him. So you have to wonder, how much preparation did they actually have to insert him into the offense, which now they can't use, and they have to kind of go back. And Micah Hyde said, when I asked him, how do you prepare for a guy you haven't seen and how he fits into this offense? He said, but he's still one of these guys you got to know where he is at all times. Well, suddenly you take that off the field. I'm interested in how the Bills play it now because, yeah, that's right, because now the Bills can say, hey, now we can kind of tighten up a little bit, force them to, hey, let's dare them to throw the ball over the top. Whereas maybe with Will Fuller on the field, you're not daring him as much as you are just covering them.
Yeah, right.
You know, the other guy too, Sal, is Mike Gesicki. And I was listening to the afternoon show earlier this week and them talking about Gesicki and something about him playing like 34 snaps last week, where, or maybe it was like 34% of the snaps last week. Like his snap count was down majorly, and they have drafted a whole bunch of essentially opposites of, you look at Durham Smythe and some of the other guys, Hunter Long, that they brought in. They look like they're trying to bring in a more traditional inline tight end. And right now, Mike Gesicki is not that. He is a liability as a blocker. Do you see him getting more burned today as a pass catcher? And would you expect, like, if someone was going to take over targets for Will Fuller, I'm not calling Mike Gesicki a deep threat here or anything, but, like, is he maybe the next guy in that offense that maybe takes some of that volume?
Well, I think there's a bigger picture on that question with the Dolphins overall, and then I think there's a specific question in this game, because let's remember what happened last year. I don't know if that's going to be the case for the season, if you're just talking in general terms for the Dolphins, but let's remember last year they matched up Mike Gesicki on Levi Wallace, and that's a game a lot of Bills fans are pointing to and said Gesicki really beat Wallace, and he did, right? And but that was Ryan Fitzpatrick. He found those matchups. You know, you wonder, is Tua going to find those matchups? Is he going to put him in the right spot if it's not off the line of scrimmage right after the play? Is he going to be able to, you know, fit that in and put them into the right spot to get that matchup? I would expect them to try and go back to that. I mean, it was very successful for them last year. So, you know, you look at the Dolphins' target share last week, if you will. The number one receiver, now in targets, I think Devontae Parker led him, but the number one receiver in catches was actually Myles Gaskin, their running back. Gesicki didn't even have a catch last week, but they threw a lot to running backs and tight ends, and that's who they are right now as an offense. They're not throwing as much to the wide receivers as maybe some other teams are throwing more, a little bit more underneath. But I think Gesicki now suddenly in this game, hey, look what he did last week. Let's go back to him. Let's see if we can get that matchup. I think that's something the Bills are very aware of, but the Dolphins are going to try and exploit again.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us here on Buffalo Bills Game Day. We'll get a call in. We've got time for a call. So let's go to Abraham in South Carolina. Abraham, good morning. You're on Buffalo Bills Game Day.
Hey, good morning. I am heading out to South Carolina, or headed to Charleston, South Carolina, where my daughter's fixing to have a baby. She'll be a fourth-generation Bills fan, and I just want to say I want them to win the Super Bowl. In honor of her and my family, we've been fans for four generations.
All right. Well, enjoy the game, and hopefully they look a little more like a team that we thought we'd see this year, this week. So enjoy the game, Abraham. Thanks for giving us a call. All right, on to we got another call here. Let's get to Kyle in West Seneca. Kyle, good morning.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. I wanted to touch on just a couple of points. I got a couple of questions for Sal and the rest of the guys. You know, I was at the game last weekend, and, you know, I never thought until basically we ran out of time at the end there that we were going to lose the game. Even when the Steelers went up 10, I thought we could still, you know, score the points that we needed to get and win the game. And it didn't happen, unfortunately. But on to this week, I had a couple questions in regards to just the O-line and then Josh Allen. And you know, I noticed, I think it was Spencer Brown that they kept on multiple occasions, bring him in as an eligible lineman. And I'm wondering, you know, is that something that we can expect to see again this week? Was that a protection design? What can I be looking for this week versus last week in adjustments the O-line is going to make? Because they got to protect Josh, you know, better than they did last week. Not that they did the worst job, but, you know, protection's key. And then, you know, just in terms of Josh's performance, I'm going to be looking for, obviously, a little bit better of a day. You know, what matchups are they looking to exploit, and, you know, what can we expect? I do think the Bills will pull this one out this week and rebound from last week. So I just wanted to get you guys' take on a couple of those questions.
Well, there's a lot there, obviously. I'm looking at the Spencer Brown came in. He only played four snaps. So I know that, you know, when you say, like, he came in sometimes and he did that, it wasn't a lot, right? I mean, he played four snaps, and he actually, one of them was to take over for Deion Dawkins when Deion Dawkins lost his shoe, actually. So I don't know how many times they had the extra man in the jumbo package, the heavy set, whatever you want to say. But let's remember two things. Number one, the first thing that's going to help protect Josh Allen, I would say, is not playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, those guys are good. It's T.J. Watt. It's Melvin Ingram. It's Cameron Hayward, right? I would think they would go to that every once in a while. But let's also remember, too, that if you're doing that, you're taking someone off the field. You're taking a receiver off the field. You're taking one of Josh's options off the field. So I don't think you want to go so far like into that as much, because you want to stick, again, to who you are and spread the field. And an extra offensive lineman means one less wide receiver, one less somebody, you know, eligible receiver on the field. And I think that's always a space you kind of have to debate on what you want to do. What I think is also interesting is Zach Moss active today, guys? He was inactive last week. He's a good pass blocker, right? I mean, is that someone? But if you put him on the field for pass blocking again, now he's not going in the route. So those are all things you have to debate.
The other thing, too, Sale, and just to add in that, is maybe you see more Dawson Knox. Maybe you see more six-man protections instead of just five. And I think, like, their failed adjustments last week, to me, were more about failing to adjust to what the Steelers' pass rush was able to do by rushing in three and four, by not bringing in a sixth guy to protect. And they did that a lot last year. That was a staple of their offense. And when they would run an 11 personnel and have Singletary or a running back, and then they would have Dawson Knox almost in the backfield as like a standing fullback in shotgun. Like, that was something they did a lot last year. A lot of that was he can stay in and block if we need him to, or he can run a route. And I think for me, those types of protection packages where you've got Dawson Knox in the backfield, he can run a route or he can stay in. Like, those are the types of things that I think you'll see more than you'll see more of Spencer Brown as your swing tackle. Like maybe you bring Spencer Brown in a couple of those, you know, the short yardage situations and tackle eligible situations. But short of that, I think the way to get this thing back on track offensive line wise is, I think, to incorporate more of those six man protections.
Sorry, guys, I got you here. Yeah, I was just reaching for my flip card, actually, just to make sure, because we get these, you know, the lineups and all that, and I was just kind of looking over the Dolphins because, you know, we were talking about their secondary. And Igbinoghene is a guy, I think, that, you know, last year, remember, he had to come in for Byron Jones because Byron Jones got hurt, right? And that was a big deal for them. You know, so is that a guy, and he didn't, I think if I remember right, he kind of struggled a little bit.
He did,
you know,
yeah.
Defending the Bills. But if you look at their... if you look at their depth chart, basically, Justin Coleman is in the slot. Is that I mean, I'm referring to the question we just had. I think it was Abraham who said, what matchups? I mean, you might be looking at that. Maybe it's, hey, you got Xavier Howard and Byron Jones on the outside, but Justin Coleman in the slot. Elijah Campbell's his backup. Is a set somewhere that you might want to look? The other thing is, look, we've spent so much time on the offense, and rightfully so. I get it.
Yeah, I know.
I got to tell you guys.
I'm sorry. I wanted
so
to get to the
well
defense.
Last week.
I know.
That's okay. It just, yeah. It did, and I think we have to say, like, I think this defense can really shut down this Miami offense. And even if the Bills' offense does struggle, we'll be talking about it. But you may be able to struggle and still win this football game.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, the whole show, I'm in my head, I'm like, okay, we're going to get the defense next. We're going to get the defense next. We'll do that next segment,
sorry.
Too. But just yeah. On that point, Sal, I have the tiniest bit of, okay, it was Pittsburgh. They have good weapons. I don't believe in their quarterback. This week might be more of the same. I might be actually believe in Tua more than I believe in Ben right about now. But
wow.
Maybe. But you're not wrong. The defense, they answer the questions in run defense, right? Najee Harris, Pittsburgh is going to make a point. They want to run the ball. Nothing there. In the past game, Roethlisberger did not hurt them too much. Like, the best play they got beat on was a great catch by Chase Claypool. And outside of that, like, you know, handful of plays. So I would expect him to be right back to it today. Star, the story on him looks like he's getting closer.
Yeah, trending in the right direction. Gabriel Davis as well. And, you know, the only one that I'm a little concerned about is F.A. Obata, because that's a new injury late in the week. He was not on the injury report until Friday. But as we know, the Bills have a lot of depth on the defensive line, so I don't think it would necessarily kill them if he didn't play, right? But I mean, I think it's an extra guy you want in the heat and the rotation and all that.
Yeah, I was gonna say today's the day you want to have that rotation fresh, Sale. I mean, like, there
That's
is no
right.
better day. And you know, this is
so
a
maybe
good
Boogie Basham gets his first
right.
NFL action today, right? Who knows?
100%. And this is a good reason to maybe touch on what you saw from that rotation last week. I thought we saw exactly why I think the coaching staff and Mario Addison were both excited about them bringing in more reinforcements at that position, because he looked fresh. He was probably one of their most effective pass rushers last week, Sal.
You're talking about Ed Oliver?
I'm talking about Mario Addison. I'm sorry,
Mario Addison. Yes, I agree. Sorry, because Ed Oliver, I thought, had a good game as well.
Yes, he did.
In the inside,
yep.
Star, obviously, if Star returns, that would really help him as well. I agree with you. I thought Mario did look fresh. He had the strip sack. I mean,
yep.
Guys, we talk about 23-16, all the plays that went wrong for the Bills. Think of That if that bounce comes up into a Bills player's hands, maybe we're talking about a new game, right? A different game. And that's how close it was last week. So, yeah, Mario Addison, I thought, played pretty well. And when you know exactly what Brandon Bean said, Brandon Bean, you know, he's honest when he talks, man. And he told us in the offseason, we're going to take a little bit off his plate and he's going to be more of a pass rusher and that's going to help him. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. All right, Sal, enjoy it. Say hi to all the Bills fans down there. We know they're going to be a
lot of them.
Out and plentiful.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Lots of them last night, yesterday over at the Elbow Room, Fort Lauderdale Beach, and then Blue Martini, also Fort Lauderdale Beach. There were just Bills fans everywhere. They're going to be rocking today. You know what the difference will be today, though, is there will be a lot of Dolphins fans because normally it's lots of Bills fans and, I don't know if I'm going to the game if you're a Dolphins fan. This game is big here, guys. It's big.
Yeah.
Tickets are going for pretty high prices. It's the home opener. They have a chance to go to 2-0. It's going to be pretty intense inside the stadium today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chance to maybe, for them, be a little bit for real. You go 2-0 with a young quarterback
right.
over the mighty Bills. I mean, it's a season changer there. All right, Sal, we'll hear from you throughout the broadcast. Enjoy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sal.
Every Bills fan at some point should do the Miami trip pilgrimage. It is so fun to go see.
I have never been in that stadium before.
Yeah. I mean, the stadium's not wonderful.
Sure.
Now that it's got the roof of the shade, it's better. But just to be in Miami to see, I mean, going anywhere and seeing everybody else on the road is fun. But Miami, holy cow. I've never done the Nashville trip. In the Nashville
Either
trip,
have I.
Everybody Gosh. In the world seems there. And this week, there'll be a lot of Bills
I don't,
fans.
So. By the way, I don't really get to take a lot of trips for Bills games.
No?
So.
Yeah. I haven't in a while, and I don't know the next one I will. Anyway, 803-0550. We'll get to more phone calls when we return. Jeremy White, Nate Geary, this is the Buffalo Bills pregame show. It's Buffalo Bills game day, and stay tuned. Following countdown to kickoff at 12:30, Eric Wood talks about with head coach Sean McDermott, brought to you by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, speed delivers. And we just talked to Sal. Catch Sal Capaccio all season long as he takes you behind the scenes on Bills game day with Sal's All Access Facebook Live. On the WGR Facebook page, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. The Bills and Dolphins coming up at 1 o'clock today. Week 2 of the NFL season is upon us. It's brought to you by Game Bills Game Day, powered by Energy Mark, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills. And as we work through this morning, we'll keep you updated on the weather in Miami. Expected to be hot, muggy. It's going to be warm here, too. Temperatures creeping up to about 80 degrees here in Buffalo. So a great day of weather brought to you by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. Time now to get connected with our fans, powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Power your business connection with Premcom. We'll go to the phones and talk to Frank. Frank, good morning. You're on Buffalo Bills game day. No, Frank? Okay, there we go. Frank,
hello, you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we got you. Yes.
Okay, I got to ask about the kick, the block punts from last week. But first of all, you just mentioned the weather. The NFL wants the Bills to put a stadium with a roof on it in Buffalo, right? So why would they schedule the Bills in Miami against the Dolphins on a day like today? This is absolutely gorgeous for football here, right? Instead, they have us going down to Miami and playing in the heat, right? So. If weather really was a concern, is what I'm trying to say, then they would have had the game in Buffalo today. If it's because now they got the Miami side to come up here in December, right?
So October actually.
Yeah. Sometimes they start here. Sometimes they start there. It's a little bit of this and that. I mean, the Bills played. You know, if the Bills play Miami in December, it's nice for Buffalo fans. They get to travel and go to some nice weather in December. So they don't – weather's not a concern for the league, and the league doesn't want a roof.
Okay.
The Bills want a roof, and it's only – hold on real quick. It's only covered stands. It's not a full roof. It's just covered stands for the fans so they don't get rained on.
I'm mistaken. I did not know the league wasn't a big priority about the roof.
No, the league is not, no.
Okay, let me start last week on that kick, okay? The guy number 44, I think it was, for some reason he went to his left and left a wide open lane for the other guy to run and block the punt. I want to ask about the punter. They used to talk a lot about one-step and two-step kickers. I don't know what he is. And he seemed like he took forever to get rid of the ball. And lastly, do you think that the coaching and staff and the management in the NFL undervalues these kickers and punters and think of them as one is just about as good as the other? because they change him so often. But, I mean, that's the most important play of the game last week. Just about. It cost him a loss. And it seems to me like they just interchange him. I mean, we had that guy from New York last year. It seemed to be all right to me. And then he's gone. They do it over money issues.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills did not tender Bohorquez a contract because it was going to be $2 million. If they do treat punters as interchangeable, that's fine. It's probably the most expendable position. Ideally, it's a player that ideally never plays. If you're good, right. He never plays.
Well,
if you're bad, he plays a lot.
On top of that, Jeremy, I do tend to agree with Frank's point about undervaluing kickers in general, but I'd want to lump in just like PAT and like field goal kickers as well. Like if you look around the league, there are 10 teams that have really good kickers, 12 teams with really good, you know, place kickers. And the rest of the league is rotating them in, and there's like 7 or 8 teams at the very bottom of the league who have like serious issues with kickers and are rotating them in and have people on the practice squad waiting to go and
Tennessee
recycle.
Just did that,
yeah, like now they're back to Randy Bullock, who they fired 2 years ago because he wasn't good, and now they're bringing him back again. Like the league, generally speaking, does have a kicking problem. Like there are very few very good ones, and that's why I think the Bills are so lucky with what they got, what they've
had.
That's
why they drafted one.
Tyler Bass has been the beacon of consistency. Like the guy is one of the best legs in the league.
After a rough start, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like after a rough start. But after that Jets game where he went like 6 of 7, the guy has been absolutely money, and he's got the strength, he's got the accuracy, and he has just been as consistent as you can ask for, and he's young. Just the difference in Hauschka compared to him has been a really nice step up for them, and I think obviously that's what they were looking to do when they drafted a kicker. But listen, guys get drafted all the time. I mean, Aguayo, the kid from Florida State, got drafted the second round. He's out of the league. So, you know, it just goes to show you that this league, it's a lot like quarterback, where when you have one, you're good. But, man, when you don't have one, you can be in a – I mean, Minnesota's been looking for a kicker for the past 2 decades. You know, like just I follow our buddy Matthew Collar, and they're always sort of making jokes about their kickers throughout the year. So it's just a weird situation the league is in with kicking. But, yeah, like I punters are probably the most expendable position on the football field.
And that game – you know, it's the most important play of that game. That doesn't mean it's the most important position. I mean, it's one play out of 120. And, I mean, if you lose a game like that, it stinks. The whole idea is that it's supposed to be the easiest, most pedestrian play. I mean, you're literally giving the other team the ball, and you couldn't even do that. I guess you couldn't do it well enough. So, no, I hope they don't punt at all today, and the best team ever wouldn't pay a punter because they just wouldn't bother with it. So, but the kicker point, I think I agree with everything you said about field goal kicker. Field goal kicker still has value, especially with the extra points being the longer extra points now. And kickoffs, too. You know, the moving the kickoff, they move the kickoffs at the 30, it's at the 35, it's at the 20. Having a guy that can put a leg into it and the touchback is the 25-yard line or put it right at the 1 so your special teams unit can – get there and tackle a guy, you know, like the 18, get him before the 20 even. I think there's value in a kicker. I don't think there's much value in a punter. But it's nice to have a good one. You would never give up a good one for no reason. The $2 million, I mean, I guess they could have kept a Horquez. I'm just not going to lose sleep over it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it, yeah.
Kate and Tonawanda. Kate, good morning. You're on Buffalo Bills game day.
Good morning. There's been so many callers about punters this morning, and I just remember last year, Bohorquez shanked a punt for like 12 yards, I think, against the Cardinals, and that was a bigger play that cost us the game than the Hail Mary was at the end there. And, you know, getting more consistency out of the punter, I think, was important. I don't know why everybody is so into this punting game when our offensive line looked the way that it did. That's all.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. Yeah, or did I say Laura or Kate? Why did I say Laura? Is there, who was it? On the phones there.
That was Kate.
Thank you.
Kate.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
I don't know why I said Laura. I must have flashed on my screen. Oh, someone on the Facebook feed. Well, thank you. Thank you, Kate. Yeah, you know, I think this is what tends to happen. This is going to be a point. This take is going to be way too big and way too grand, Nate, but I'm going to make it anyway. Remember the 15 years of never scoring any points offensively and how many things we would all focus in on? Like, oh, the punter did this, or oh, the receiver dropped one pass, or that one holding call, the refs have it out for us. And remember how last year none of that mattered because the Bills just scored a bajillion touchdowns?
Right.
Like, week one, the offense didn't do it. And when the offense doesn't do it, you start to look at everything else. I think this is true in every sport. You play, you watch a hockey game. You got shut out. What went wrong? Well, let me tell you all the things that went wrong. You score five goals. What went wrong? Everything was great. Like, it's all about,
yeah,
did you put up points? And, you know, the offensive line did not play well last week. But the offensive line did play well enough to win if Josh Allen connects with Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
And if Josh Allen, if Emmanuel Sanders hangs on to that one pass, or if they don't get the punt blocked. So I think they're all fair points. It's just we watched a team that's supposed to score a lot, not score, and that leads us to talking about the play that was the difference, the punt or the line, or the holding penalties. The Bills are still a good team that nearly overcame all that, still did outgain the Steelers. Pittsburgh found a way to win it because they got a freakish block punt that you don't necessarily ever plan on.
Also, Jeremy, if they score one touchdown, they're not going to win a lot of games this year.
That's the thing. Like that's the thank you for saying it the shorter way. But like, yeah, I mean, if they put up four touchdowns today, it's going to be hard to find one play where you say like, wow, can you believe it came down to that? Because you could say it come down to a lot more plays than that. I guess you start to really understand what it means. It could have come down to any play. For you could focus in on that punt, or you could focus in on the first drive of the game after the big kick return. The Bills go pass, 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 and Stephon Diggs gets held on the third down, and they don't call it. What happens if that – you know, these games change all the time, and that it came down to that punt is disappointing because those are supposed to be easy plays. A lot of punting. I like it. I don't mind it. Thank you to Kate for calling. Thank you to the caller before who you know, wants to talk about Bohorquez. Like, I'm into it. If we're being honest, Nate, we've been talking about the edges of this roster the entire offseason.
That's it, because what else do you have to talk
about?
Right,
we know they're good in a lot of spots.
Yeah.
Going back to the Houston offseason, it was about the edges of the roster because, you know, you've got so many good pieces in place. So I think they're all, you know, legitimate points to bring up, and we thank you for bringing them to us. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Be listening for the ECMC Halftime Show with Nate Geary. ECMC, go where the Bills go. Nate recaps the key moments of the first half and brings you up to date on the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, your construction equipment and tool rental source, building America from the ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com. Maybe, Nate, this week you get more key plays in the first half.
I'm hoping so. That it was pretty late last week. By the way, we just got a tweet that I think maybe gives me the best, one of the best explanations of why Corey Bohorquez is no longer on the team. And he and Mike Waldert on Twitter says he thinks Bohorquez was also not a very good holder for kicks. And I kind of thought the same thing. Like, there was several times where he either botched a hold or it was a sketchy hold or, like, laces in. Like, those are things that
can't do that in Miami.
You can't do it in Miami, Dan. But, no, it's that is also something, too, that I had thought in the back of my mind was probably a main reason they wanted to go out and find somebody else. I think they wanted somebody as a better holder.
There you go. All right.
Lots of punter talk.
Lots of punter
talk.
We're all the way to holder talk. I'm into it. Bills game day continues on the other side here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.